Blog Talk Radio.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're going to build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darrow, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
Good evening, folks. 6 p.m. The Comic Shop, as known by Affinite Radio. Folks, we have a lot to get into. The great Darryl B. has just arrived, as well as Captain Kirk and myself, D-Bert. We have a lot to talk about. This is a full-fledged two-hour broadcast. The Comic Shop first, and then, of course, Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk second. Let's get into a quick, and I do mean really quick, about a minute and a half of a jammy jam before we get into the discourse, into the pulp-flavored discourse. This is Fishbone, Freddy's Dead, Groove. Enough of that. Again, the Comic Shop, 6 p.m., or I should say 6:03 p.m. We've got to get into it. We've got to call our team members to the bridge for pulp-flavored discourse. The Captain, what's up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And then there's
$1 billion is a lot of cheddar, my friends. Lot of cheddar.
Yes. And you thought it was going to make, what, 700 or 600? I told you. I knew it. Dr. Strange told me.
Like I said, DC, you step your game up. Your game up.
If that's possible. I know just quickly that Jim Lee was on My Geek Time on Sirius, and he was throwing a lot of shade toward Marvel. You know, he was being respectful. You know, at first he said he didn't see the movie yet. Okay. But he said that, you know, he wasn't so supportive. I mean, you know, he's worked for Marvel before, but he was a little bit like, I don't know. I'll talk about it later on, but it was interesting to hear these DC guys that when they're throwing shade. You know, it's going to be hard to catch up on this one. I'm sorry, folks. Hard to catch up. Again, Daryl B., Captain Kirk, myself, D-Bert. The call-in number, folks, is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. If you're unfamiliar with the Comic Shop, of course, which is indicative by its name, we talk about comic books, sci-fi, fantasy, video gaming, you name it. This time around, I want to get into the list of subjects. First up, speaking of the Avengers, kind of hard to discuss it, or I should say hard to ignore it. $1 billion takedown within 2 weeks of its release, if you include the overseas markets, and it seems like there's no stopping this juggernaut. So we're going to talk more about the implications for Avengers 2. Boy, did they greenlight this thing with the swiftness. On many occasions with movies that I have liked that made money, they never quite, the higher-ups, the suits, will never quite say with the swiftness about a sequel. This thing, they admitted, sure, we're going to do it. When that money started pouring in, literally, pouring in by the buckets, oh, yes, we're going to do Avengers 2, are you kidding? Quickly, as quick as they made the money was as quick as they admitted that they're going to do a sequel. So we're going to talk about possible storylines for Avengers 2. And this is coming from the Newsarama website. Again, definitely check out Newsarama.com. They have an article entitled The 10 Classic Avengers Stories That Can Make for a Great Sequel. So we're going to talk about that, unpack that. We're going to return to our infamous Versus segment, making it simple and plain. Which animated series do you like the best, Young Justice or Justice League Unlimited? Again, Young Justice versus JLU. Fringe, I prayed to Zeus, and he answered my call, and it looks like that they're going to get a fifth season, albeit 13 episodes. I'm a little disappointed about that, but I think they did that out of deference to the fan base. So Fringe gets its fifth season, and Leonard Nimoy, who said, I'm not going to act again, I'm tired, I'm old, looks like he's drinking some of the Captain America elixir. He's back in full fold, as a villain, no less. I never saw him as a villain before, so he's a villain now. So he's back, so we got to talk about that. Also, something else that, and Daryl could talk about, I want to take this up first, Zach, before we even get into the Avengers. Battle Scars, the Battle Scars limited series, finally allows for a Black Nick Fury to exist in this timeline, along with Agent Coulson. So we get Agent Coulson, we get the Sam Jackson-inspired Nick Fury, and it goes with very little fanfare. Normally, I would figure there would be more people upset about this, or this would be more known. So we have to get into that. And I think that's it. We'll try to get through this for the hour. Again, gentlemen, let's rev our engines. First up, we'll get to Avengers in a moment. But I want to talk about this thing, Daryl. Battle Scars, limited series, 6 issues, Marcus Johnson. And we spoiler alert here, folks, but we find out through a rather convoluted way that the main storyline, Just as in there being an alternate storyline and an ultimate storyline, and you have a Black Spider-Man, in reverse, the main storyline, the main Marvel continuity, Earth 616, to be technical, has its Black Nick Fury after all. And I don't hear too many people griping about it. What are your thoughts on this, Daryl?
Actually, I do have a gripe about this. Okay?
Get out of here.
I'll just say this, right? As a dude that invested a whole bunch of money in picking up Secret Warriors, okay, which was the Hickman Shield Hydra series, okay, I feel chipped. Because this is something we got introduced to one of Nick Fury's kids in that. Actually, two of his kids in that series. And they both got killed in the course of that series. So, out of left field, all of a sudden we get this. You know, this isn't the first thing from the Ultimate Universe that Marvel's taken to cross over. All right, anybody see what they've done with the Venom suit lately? It's becoming less an alien and more a weaponized freaking suit. You know, which the Pender gets hooked on. I just look at it this way. I spent a lot of money on Secret Warriors. I was devoted to that. And even Rush ending and all, I read the first book and I was like, well, that was about $100 that I wasted. That was beautiful. Thank you. At the end of the first issue of Battle Scars, like, okay, this overturns everything I just read. That's beautiful. That's lovely. But you know how Marvel is. Yo, this Black Nick Fury thing works. Let's make it work full time. Now, that goes against saying that Ennis has another Fury Max book coming out. All right, so the White Nick Fury isn't necessarily going away. But at the same time, we got our option here, you know? And, again, not the first character that Marvel's done this, not the first character comic books have done this, where they take a character who's gotten popular and transfer them over to the main universe, i.e. Chloe Sullivan, where are you? You know? But at the same time, anybody who's read any S.H.I.E.L.D. books at length, I could imagine them doing like me, reading Battle Scars and their eyes rolling in the back of their head like, oh, God, I wasted all that money for this. Go ahead, Cap.
Well, you definitely have a very strong point, and I feel for you. I feel for you. But I'll be terse here. You see, Nick Fury is not like a character. I see that whole Nick Fury situation more or less as a medium line, medium in between, medium tier type character. It's not a character like Spider-Man. So to answer Afro Nerd's question, what he posited, what he put out there, it slips underneath the radar a bit for people because it is a Nick Fury. If it was a bigger character, I think a lot more, you know, would be said about the situation, about switching it up and going back and forth, making him, you know, he's black in the main universe and everything else. I think it would have been a much bigger, you know, problem from that perspective. And there you have it. So there you go, Sir Affleck.
Yeah, again, folks, we're talking about Battle Scars, the limited six-issue series from Marvel that essentially puts the Sam Jackson-inspired, the Black Nick Fury, into the mainstream storyline. And I have to admit, I somewhat enjoyed this series, although it went through a lot of twists and turns, a lot of machinations to arrive at a Black Nick Fury. Now, I remember a few years ago, there were all these implications because of there being a Nick Fury, a Black Nick Fury. Well, actually, I shouldn't say a few years ago. They started going in this direction. The talk was based on Captain America, the cinematic Captain America, that people were expecting, because we saw the Howling Commandos. We saw the Howling Commandos in Captain America. And we were, you know, if you have the Howling Commandos, you have to have Sergeant Fury in that. And we didn't see that. So folks were asking, well, you know, maybe there might be, you know, a mentioning of the Infinity Formula. I'm getting more technical for our audience, but the Infinity Formula is the formula that allows Nick Fury to not age, where he could be looking like a 45, 50-year-old man and having participated in World War II. So it's similar, kind of sort of similar to the Captain America deal, except that he wasn't frozen. He just existed. And now we find out that his son, because of relations that he had 30 years ago with an African woman, African-American woman, it seems that he was able to pass on this Infinity Formula to his son, now Nick Fury Jr. You know, that's his legal name. His name is Marcus Johnson, but I'm not going to go into the whole thing. It would take the show. But through a convoluted way, he had a son of African descent because of his relations with an African woman, an African spy, and now we get our own Nick Fury.
The implication is, just think about it. Fury's lived how long? How many different kids does Fury got?
Well, that's true too.
He's the James Bond of the Marvel Universe. Is it possible Fury slept with a few superheroines too? Yeah, you don't know. People don't ask these questions, but wow. Just the silent implication alone, like, yo, you've been on Earth all that time. That's a lot of kids.
Well, you know, sometimes this is what the whole thing about backward continuity is. When they start throwing in this stuff, I mean, they went in this direction a little bit. I'm thinking of one character where this was implied also somewhat. I had it in my head and then it disappeared that quickly. It was another character where they made mention. Luke Cage during the Alias series. It was like an inside joke about how many superheroes he got around. He got around. You know, if you remember this, Daryl, when he talked about it, they kind of made fun of him. I think it was Carol Danvers talking to
Jessica Jones.
And these two, like women, you know, being catty about stuff. It was in Tigra. It was like an inside joke. She-Hulk. He slept with everybody. So I kind of like that kind of stuff because it brings us into an adult kind of thing. It loosens up the characters. It makes them more real. So sometimes they do this. This is kind of the direction that comics has gone into. So I don't know what to think. Part of me thinks it's kind of wedging things in. It's wedging things in, but we'll see how it plays out. I just thought that it was a bit weird that it didn't go through more fanfare. But the captain is right. I think maybe because this is a second tier character, maybe a tertiary character, maybe that's why folks just didn't care that much.
And let's face it, they didn't make him look like Samuel Jackson. I guarantee you, if they went the extra mile to make him look like Samuel Jackson and all that, you would have gotten an uproar. I mean, when you first grabbed the book, they showed him on the cover, and I thought it was Falcon for a second. You know,
yeah.
They didn't go out of their way to go, ha ha, we're bringing Samuel Jackson into the regular 616. You know. Marvel played their hand, but you could see the writing on the wall, like in the second or third issue. And there you have it.
I don't know, man. The last issue, they also went through a whole. Listen, in the six issue series, he manages to lose an eye. He manages to get scarred and burned, and he manages to shave his head. That ends up being Sam Jackson. He looks like Sam Jackson, and Agent Coulson is right there with him. His friend is his code name is Cheese, as in the dish, the dairy food. His code name is Cheese, and then eventually you find out that he ends up becoming. This also is the introduction of Agent Coulson. Also, this brought Agent Coulson from the cinematic world to the main storyline, kind of like what you referenced before, the whole Chloe character. From the Smallville series. She was so popular as a character in Smallville, the TV series, that they somehow brought her to, although she disappeared after, I guess, 52, DC 52, now she's gone. But she was very popular, and they brought her in, and because of Coulson's popularity, they brought him in. So, I don't know. Listen, let's go to a musical break, gentlemen. When we get back, let's talk more about the Avengers. Let's talk more about these potential storylines for Avengers 2. We'll be back, folks. This is Love by the Beast. Love by the Beast. We'll be back in a few moments. Let's hold on.
If we must live for the moment,
bet we'll be winning the fight with all love. Victorious through the plight with all love. Can't be overcame with luck from Notre Dame. We numb as Novocaine if it don't involve love.
When we fail to recognize love, we don't exercise what's gonna help us rise up like a satellite, right? We can catalyze and rise above lies and abuse like battered wives.
Okay, I write love letters with left hand, the five-finger discount, free love, and love that's young, love that's pure, love endures and never lasts, love blasts out speakers to people of all class.
Yeah.
We would win more. We could endure. Yeah. And begin more. Yeah. We descend less. Yeah. Once knew a girl, it was love she would lack, but her mind and herself, she would lie on her back like it was the reason she falling off track. Get up with her sister, she called an off jack.
Her pastime spent loving in part, loving in clubs and loving her butt, not loving her heart. Discovering dark details, leaving the mark, leaving her eyes with not even a spark.
But her spine was the truth, previously stated from the dude, running from her dad, hide on the roof,
lying there, no clothes, crying in the room like, I don't want to stay here, I just want
to
move
to a place where the love ain't involved with the loot.
And to be a candidate, you need a rolling in a coupe, in a crib with a pool and a view of the valley.
But to the higher ups, you ain't gotta be cute.
Yeah, coming up she was the cutest, and dudes try to keep her confused like a Rubik's, and she used to keep them amused. Then there was a coup, and then she refused like a Buddhist. Shorty found love when she started to come around love. She felt the energy around us in the blood like heroin. Love deeper than aquarium, stronger than adamantium.
Yeah. We would win more. We could endure. Yeah. And begin more. Yeah. We descend less.
Simply Love by the Beast. By the Beast. Folks, this is the Comic Shop. The time is 6:22 p.m. We're talking about all things pulp, pop, comic, graphic novel, sci-fi, fantasy, you name it, we're about it. Daryl B., Captain Kirk, and myself, D-Bert. The call-in number is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Don't be scared, the water is warm. Let me also give a shout-out to Stanley Kubrick, our own Stanley Kubrick, from by way of the UK. I think the Pharaoh is also in. I see that he's in and about here and there listening to our show. Let's talk about the Avengers. We can't avoid it. It's week two in the U.S., and already I'm hearing that it has breached the $1 billion mark, which is completely amazing. So fast. You have to admit, gentlemen, this movie moved very quickly. And I thought it was just funny. I mentioned this at the top of the show. Just how funny that, you know, there's no qualm about getting Avengers 2. You know, I think it might be a record as to how quickly a movie has been approved for a sequel. You know, sometimes when a movie can make its money, but it might be, you know, a few weeks before someone says, all right, the studio says, yep, there's going to be another one. This one was like, you know, basically as soon as the first week came out, the last week's, you know, numbers came out, oh yeah, that's going to be number two. No question. So in the Newsarama blog, an excellent comic-related blog, newsarama.com, they talk about classic storylines that the Avengers produced print-wise that might make for an excellent Avengers 2. Now, it looks like, this is a spoiler alert, folks, but at the end of the film, we see a Thanos talking about the Avengers. And that already, you know, because of the the Cosmic Cube storyline that was in this Avengers, that it looks like we might be getting into an Infinity. What is that thing called? The actual
Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity Gauntlet. That storyline. But actually, they brought up a lot of different storylines that might make for a great Avengers sequel. Daryl, what comes to mind for you that, as far as storylines, famous storylines, or maybe not so famous storylines that they might be able to use for the second film, or maybe the films thereafter?
Wow, there's a couple. Ironically, one of the stories that I've been vibing on, I could see them making into a movie, and it's by Geoff Johns, the Red Zone epic that he did, which involved the Red Skull. I could see that as sort of like a minor story. Meanwhile, the major story of Thanos is seeded through the other films. You know, like here's the minor situation, but the major threat is still on the horizon. Guilty pleasure, yo. I've recommended this book to so many people if they wanted to get into Avengers, but they're scared by all the history. Avengers Forever by Busick. Oh my God! The whole history of the Avengers laid bare. You have Thanos. You have Immortus. It's Avengers geek fantasy for that one. It'll never make it because you're talking about 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of continuity on screen, and that'd be impossible. But that's the whole thing with the success of this Avengers movie. Literally, the world's your oyster right now when it comes to Avengers stories. There are so many out there. If they wanted to go Greek, they could have done the Assault on Olympus, you know, where you have the Avengers taking on the Greek gods. You know, you could do the Eternal Saga. There is just a vast library for them to do here, and that's the great thing. The choices are literally infinite, but at the same time, Thanos, Infinity Gauntlet. We've already seen the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor. What geek can't get hyped for that? Cap, floor is yours.
Well, I think, you know, yes, we did see the Infinity Gauntlet in Thor, but I think that movie is actually, that version is actually harder to do. I think they should do the first Thanos War, which would somewhat introduce him a little bit more to the people, but you also have to introduce a few other characters. You would need
like Captain Marvel.
Right, and then you need that character, I believe, was it Mantis? You'd also need that character involved in that situation. But it makes a lot of sense, and it's real easy to do. You know, if you go to Infinity Gauntlet now it turns into a whole different situation. You got to bring in, you know, Adam Warlock in that, you know, and it becomes extremely hard to defeat at that given point, you know? Extremely hard to defeat. You know, so I'm just looking from the difficulty standpoint. You know, I think the first Thanos War is just a lot easier to do, you know, and it's a lot easier for the people to follow. When you looked at the whole Avengers movie, you see, for the geeks can follow anything. But the general audience, who is really, you know, from not just from the comic book standpoint, from a movie standpoint, a lot of times is stupid. The Avenger movie was real easy for them to follow because they met a lot of characters. It was built up already. And, you know, they didn't necessarily know about Hawkeye or Black Widow. They didn't have to know about that. You know, but all the other characters and the way it was set up, it was real easy for them to follow. I think they should stay with that same format, making it easier for the people to follow where they're not really getting lost in the movie. And that's what works. You know, that's just my opinion. At this given point. So I think that's what the one they should go with. There's also one other I have, okay, but something for them to do. Maybe that's the third movie, and that's my guy, Count Nefari, okay?
Ooh.
That's a whole nother thing. You know,
are we talking Busick run Nefari or classic Burn Englehart?
Classic.
Ooh.
That's
Ooh.
What I'm talking about.
Avengers versus the Magia.
That's right.
Yeah, that.
That gets really in-depth. But that would be Avengers 3. Excavation 3, the third installment, after they deal with Thanos. Back over to you, Sir Afro-Nerd.
Yeah, you know, the more that you're talking about this, the more that all these stories are flooding through my mind now, because literally I have all these stories, but my comic collection is so vast that I'm not going to be able to go through this stuff. I have to buy these things over again and trade paperback, because I'm simply too lazy to go through these boxes and to search for this stuff. I'm not going to do it. I already bought the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. I just placed an order for that yesterday, actually, to re-familiarize myself with that storyline. But my thing is, some of the characters that the beloved characters that I hope we see, that we better see, actually, that we better see in Avengers 2, Black Panther, Vision, those characters.
Falcon.
There has to be a story attached to them to explain them. Like, okay, the Ultron storylines, Ultron Unlimited or what have you, the Ultron storylines are periodic stories that come up because of Ant-Man. Ant-Man has to come into fold. Or is it Ant-Man, or is it Yellow Jacket, or is it Giant Man? We don't know how that's going to play out. So they've got to introduce that character first, then his penchant for building stuff. He is essentially a low-grade Reed Richards in some respects. So they have to establish that character in Avengers 2, then have him build Ultron, then have Ultron build Vision if they go that way. Or if they have a Vision just there, and then there's backstory to all this stuff. So will we see that? This recent storyline, the Civil War, is one storyline that they could go into. Maybe if you have Captain America there, you have government influence, you have S.H.I.E.L.D., that might be a storyline they might want to get into. I mean, they already touching on Thanos. Thanos touches on the whole galaxy, Guardians of the Galaxy thing. There's talk of them fast-tracking a Guardians of the Galaxy story. So if you're going to do that, you almost have to connect it to the Avengers. I mean, what do they do? I mean, it's almost so much stuff.
I'll tell you something real quick. They did a poll on Comic Book Vine or something like that, and the number three story to come up was JLA versus Avengers. And I was like, yeah, that's going to work. That's going to happen. DC's going to give their okay to that. But what's to say you don't get Squadron Supreme versus the Avengers? Man, I'm just needling DC all up and down with it.
Well, you know something? You know something? Well, let me mention one thing before I even mention what you're talking about. They just touched on the animated version last week, the Korvac saga. They just touched on that, which was another popular storyline from the Avengers old. Now, what you're talking about, that would really be a kick in the butt to Warner Brothers. It would be pretty much an insult. But folks that have listened to the show, I have I absolutely love Supreme Power. And that's even a different version of the Squadron Supreme. But for those who are the uninitiated, the Squadron Supreme dates back to the late 60s. Where anyone could just look at this and knew that it was basically Marvel's tongue-in-cheek, I don't know, thing. a tongue-in-cheek answer to DC's heroes. I mean, they have their own version, their own Speedster, their own Superman alien type. They have their own Batman. It was literally Marvel's interpretation of DC characters. So if they were to introduce that in some Avengers film, I don't know what to say. They might, I didn't think about that. If they did that, it might shut down DC.
Yeah, because think about the amount of times we've seen, like, heroes be mind control and fighting one another. Who's to say that Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet sees the Avengers as a threat and he views the world and creates 4 or 5, 6 heroes or his own warped versions of those heroes, and that turns out to be the Squadron Supreme, and he says, get the Avengers.
That'd be crazy.
Take them out before.
That's a crazy movie. That's a crazy movie,
Yo, Nighthawk, Nighthawk versus Captain America. Iron Man versus Zarda. You know, you could go, like I said, that's the best thing about Avengers doing so well. The possibilities are endless. Thank you, Fringe, for that one. You know, it's, we combined, we must have like 100 Avengers stories floating in our head right now. You know, and then when you combine how good the cartoon has been with adopting last year and this year Avengers storylines and everything, yo, everything's right there. Everything, everything. If Marvel messes this up, how, you know, there'd be no help. But at the same time, this should be spurring DC, Image. Hey, Dark Horse, what happened to the next Hellboy movie? You know, this should be spurring everybody to go, you know what, we can't be thinking in the box anymore. Everything is out there. All you got to do is put quality on the screen and people will see it.
Well, you know, there's two things I want to mention, though. You know, the captain mentioned that, you know, some of the stuff, you know, for the lack of a better word, some of the audience may be stupid. I'm not so sure about that because with other properties that fall under the umbrella of sci-fi fantasy comic book, folks seem to get into this stuff. You know, in other words, there's a whole dictionary, there's a whole mythology attached to Harry Potter, there's a whole mythology attached to The Hunger Games, there's a mythology attached to Twilight. When there's something that is interesting to people, I think they will do the research because, you know, one of the folks in our inner circle, Sally from the gym, shouting out her, you know, this is a young lady that really didn't have full knowledge of comic books. But after we all saw this film together last week, in the gym she says, "What about this Vision guy?" And then she goes into all his powers. So I'm like filling in the gaps, but I'm like, already she wants to know about this lore. She's learning about the lore. So I'm saying maybe people might want to know, as complicated as this stuff is, when people really like what they like, they may do the due diligence. Now, when they brought in Thanos, I mean, this is to Daryl, are they going to have this guy trying to court death? Let me mention this to the audience. This is what I mean by, like, really complicated, really complicated stuff. Really complicated stuff. You know, when they brought this character in, it's not simple. His whole backstory is out there. And when I say court death, I mean literally wants to date a being that is the embodiment, a female being. Just like you have Galactus, who is a supernatural, larger-than-life, literal being. Death in Marvel is a female embodiment. And he's in love with this being who represents death. That's so philosophical, so out there. How are they going to? Because they have to explain Thanos' reasoning. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to throw out there. It's a complicated story. You can't simplify Thanos, can you? I don't think you can.
No. Nope, and that's where everybody's going to earn their money in the build up to this. They're going to have to earn their money because, you know, we've just introduced concepts that are, you can't sit down and say, okay, this will only take a minute to explain, because literally it does not take a minute to explain. We would have to go deep.
Captain, you have some words.
Yes, that's why I say they need to do the Thanos War version, because that explains them really well. And then you can get into, you know, the Nova Corps and all of that, the Intergalactic Federation. You have to bring all of that in. You know, it's just an easier storyline to follow than Infinity Gauntlet. Infinity Gauntlet, if you really follow the storyline, you got to get into Galactus. They can't bring Galactus into that universe. You start dealing with all of that business. You know, so it's you know, to me, it just followed that storyline, and that'll explain everything. And it gets complicated, but it's not too complicated where they can't follow. And it's very interesting and it'll be very entertaining.
And that's another thing. If you bring Thanos into this thing, they already talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you bring Thanos into this thing, you also, you know, there's also this implication of Captain Marvel. There's implications of Adam Warlock, which you mentioned. You know, how far do you go back with him? You know, Adam Warlock represents a perfect man. You know, he wasn't even called Adam Warlock in Fantastic Four. This goes back to the 60s. He was just him. There was a him and there was a her. I mean, I don't know if they're going to go that deep into it, but there's a lot of mythology. Yeah. To these very, I was really shocked to see Thanos there, really shocked because you know, obviously Joss Whedon is not afraid to tap into all this complicated lore. And another thing that's upsetting is that, you know, because of Marvel's licensing their properties before they were able to get back into the black financially, to our listening audience, you know, Marvel, unfortunately. You know, whether it's the Fantastic Four at Fox, whether it's Daredevil, is Daredevil at Fox also?
Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and X-Men, all are Fox properties.
Spider-Man, Sony.
Sony's got Spider-Man. And they got another character, Punisher.
Well, no, but Punisher came back to Marvel.
Yeah, I should say they had another character, but Punisher's now back to Marvel, yeah.
Well, you know what that is? Listen, no one, it's Punisher is an easy movie. There's no loss for that. All those other characters are like first and second tier characters. It's going to be hard to let them go. Sony is obviously is not letting go of Spider-Man, and some of these characters are so embedded in the Avengers universe. It's going to be some. But how do you negate some of the stuff without having X-Men crossovers, Spider-Man crossovers? I mean, you know, I guess they're going to do it anyway, but that's the shame of it all.
But this is where one of Cap's ideas comes into play. Marvel, just grab heads of Sony, grab heads of Fox, sit them in a room, and go like, look, this is what we're going to do for the Avengers movie, all right? We want to use, okay, X-Men and Spider-Man, And most notably Wolverine, since that's like the only character that Fox cares about in the X universe. Him and Magneto go like the hell with the rest of the characters. We'll play jumble with them. But sit them in a room, and say, yo, we want to use these heroes. We want to use them in a big movie. You guys get buy credits and all of that, and it helps us because we make it into a grand-scale blockbuster, and it helps you because you guys are trying to jump off their franchises again, right? So if they appear in this Avengers 2, the ultimate, all the heroes, free-for-all, rumble, and people are now interested in their characters, so when you come with their movies, that, it's like free advertising. Money to make money.
Yeah, but
unfortunately, studio heads don't listen to that.
Well, I think what stops it is that, you know, there's nothing to stop these higher ups to say, hey, listen, if we can borrow these guys, for a few minutes on screen, then there's no need for those guys to ever have to relinquish control at all. That's what I think is going to happen. It makes sense that if you do some cross-pollinating, what I've been talking about for the last couple of years, that it makes, like Daryl just said, it makes sense. But the problem is that, well, we can borrow Spider-Man for 5 minutes of screen time, then that Sony says, well, we're letting you borrow the guy. We don't need to ever let go of it. You know, that's what's going to stop this from ever happening, unless these guys wait too long to make another film, and then they lose the rights. Automatically revert back to Marvel. I think these guys don't want to lend out these characters because at the end of the day, they'd rather have everything. Why have a little when we can own everything? I mean, you know, listen, I'd like to see it. Gentlemen, let's go to a musical break. This is Infinity Gems, Adam Warlock. Let's keep everything in theme. Adam Warlock, Infinity Gems. We'll be right back.
Shit. I just figured out exactly what the track's missing. Hold up.
Really, I don't understand the science of it. Ultimate nullifier, the way the mic is covered. Call me Mr. Fantastic when I spit scripture. Cause every line you read, I get richer. Herald of Galactus, I spit barrel chested. Lyrics for practice, tilt the world's axis. I know you're thinking it's strange that I'm a doctor. Rock like Ben Grimm, bullseye, who shot ya? Right between the eyes and the forehead, third eye vision. Hand in hand with every word I'm spitting. Watch as I assemble rhymes coming straight at your temple. I'm like a summer-filled studio temple. I gotta be the only MC with a law degree. Don't hate on my style or on Matt Murdock. See, I got the power, man, hour after hour. And stop with all the talk of Marvel versus DC. And on the catch rock of my swagger, stand up and show how green you get when you're marching man hop. Yeah, I'm big-headed like I'm Booster Cole, because I rock around the clock and never lose the flow. And did I mention that the sense of my chest ain't for Clark? Can I spit shot through rickety rock to pay the rent? Check my bank statement, rank better than state schools. A tricked out basement like the way that Bruce Wayne do. I hold the gauntlet, man, you don't want it. Throwing up a fist, cause Adam's the grand vaunted. I got the soul gem making you dance as I hold the universe in the palm of my hand. And war rock, I catch ready to jump and shout. Throw up a fist if you think that you're down. Because I rock it thoroughly from beginning to end. I'm way beyond night now. I rock infinity gems. Mental organism designed only for killing this mic. That's the line from Tribe One on the Silver Age. And if you haven't heard a single, you ain't doing it right. Fuck that, y'all missing out like for real, man. Raised in Memphis 10 with a pad and a pen. I wrote rhymes for the last when you heard about my MO. You never heard of chatter rap the way I do about the things that you love. That's why I'm here to push the envelope. Y'all wanna dance, then go ahead and dance. Y'all wanna show that I can do that for you. Y'all wanna think that my songs will make you cry and laugh. Y'all wanna wild out, I got you covered too. Like the way that Tony Dungy do, Solomon Grundy rude. I speak so sick like I'm coming out of the sewers to spew. And every hater's getting toe tag and poly bag, long box and coffin floats and lids on you. So sick of the ennui all up in the comic scene. Culture that we love, so you better treat it true. I choose to annotate life, it's too scary. Call me David like my brother Uzumeri. Up against Goliath, aim for the ISI Cyclops. Ruby quartz, horn rims, kryptonite, high top. And why not? Maybe celebrate the way that we do. Cause even geeks wanna have fun too. I hold the gauntlet, man, you don't want it. Throwing up a fist, cause Adam's the grand vaunted. I got the soul gem making you dance. And I hold the universe in the palm of my hand. And war rock, I catch ready to jump and shout. Throw up a fist if you think that you're down. Because I rock it through a lead from beginning to end. I'm way beyond night down. I rock infinity gems. The war for infinity. In stores now.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, you know what time that is. Just going back to the song, that again was Adam Warrock, Infinity Gems, trying to keep things pretty much in accordance to the theme. This is the Comic Shop, the call-in number, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Back into full effect, transition time. Let's talk about Versus, our infamous segment, talking about the JLU, the beloved JLU, the Diniverse, versus this new upstarts, Young Justice. Dow, going back to you. Is it fair to compare these two? I mean, you know, I'm looking at these the shows, and I'm becoming more and more – I'm digging what I see, and they've matured in the second season by 5 years, and we're seeing more of the Justice League. They were more mentoring, they're still mentoring, but the Justice League are there more now. This Young Justice invasion, actually. So we're seeing everybody. They're sneaking in a lot of the stuff that we wanted to, that we have seen, or that we've grown accustomed to from the JLU animated stuff from about 5 years ago. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first things first, it's obvious now that they're in the same universe as Justice League Doom, and if you haven't gone out to watch Justice League Doom yet, what are you waiting for? All right? Yeah, you go, like, if you're a comic fan, you need to see that movie. Just like it or loathe it, you need to see that movie. But I think it's too soon to put it up there. I really think it's too soon to put it up there. Sorry. Justice League Unlimited, that is, had a long time of quality, all right? These guys, you used the perfect word. They're upstarts. But at the same time, let's see where they take, they they take this info. Because you know what? That 5-year jump and what happened on the last episode, I don't know if you watched it, but I was literally pissed off. I admit it. I was pissed off. Because that felt like I got robbed. Because that was a story I would like to see. After so long building up who's turning, who's going to, this guy just goes bad and you don't get to see it on screen? That felt like a gym. But I'm not saying Young Justice Invasion is not quality. I'm just saying that to put it up with JLU, put it up with Batman, you know, it's got a while to go before it's there. Cap, floor is yours, man.
I'm going to come with the midget response. You know what a midget response is? That's something, a short response. Okay? Being that this is a versus segment. So if this was a boxing match, all right? JLU 10 rounds. The other subject, 2. It has a lot of potential. And I agree with Daryl. It's too early to tell. We have to see what happens down the line. But it has a lot of potential. I didn't like the first season. I'm starting to like it now. So maybe I'm a little biased. But the JLU, I definitely do like it. You know, and if it was a prize fight, 10 rounds for the JLU. There you go. Back
well,
with you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
I have to admit, I give a lot of props to Young Justice in the sense that they created it in a way, in a mature way, to appease a lot of what a lot of what the fans probably suspected would have been missing. I think people would assume that this is just going to be a complete sidekick show. And that we'd see, you know, just cameos of some of our favorite long-standing Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman kind of things. But they've actually been able to effectively sprinkle enough for everybody to have a certain degree of satisfaction. Like, you do get your Batman, you do get your Superman, you do get all these other mainstream characters, and also you're getting these quote-unquote sidekicks, but they're not really sidekicks. I mean, even Shazam gets his play. Captain Marvel gets his play. So I just can't hate on it, but I will agree that it might be too early. It's, you know, with JLU, you had all that history with Batman and Superman adventures, even leading into the JLU continuity. They were even able to. You have Batman Beyond in that, leading in even some of the things that were not that were not able to be tied up. They were able to tie up from even the past iterations of other animated series. So there's just too much going on with JLU, and people just really love JLU. We talk about it to this day, you know. So, but I have to admit that Young Justice does a fairly good job of appeasing my appetite for the loss of JLU, which I thought would never happen.
Yeah, and,
but I have to give it up for that.
And that's the funny thing. How can DC? It's like the two companies do a complete 180. Like you see now, Marvel's making strides in their animation department with how good Avengers is and how quality, like, their spectacular Spider-Man was, you know? You could see them making come-ups on this. How DC can hit it out of the park every time with their animation department, but they can't make it translate into live action. That just goes beyond me.
Yeah, I don't
get
it. Well, listen, I mentioned this before, Daryl. There was talk of getting the Deanies, getting these animated guys to somehow get involved in the live action thing. I think that might be their only alternative. But you know, things that make sense to them don't necessarily make sense. Quickly, we've got about 5 minutes remaining. I want to talk about Fringe. We finally get. I was going to go through some Hulk-like rages if I didn't see a fifth season of this stuff, because leading into the fifth season, this fourth season has been so riveting. I mean, forget about Fringe lore and Fringe mythology. Just the acting prowess of the cast has been so on point. with this show. And the fact that, you know, usually when they put sci-fi or any intellectual property on Friday, sci-fi property, usually it's where it's the graveyard shift where these great shows go to die. So that's what happens. Everybody knows that. If it goes to Friday, it'll go to Monday, Tuesday. If it ends up on Friday, that means you expect severance pay. That's the truth. So this, I'm glad to see that they were able to get at least 13 episodes going into next year. I wish it would have been 26 or more, but I got to take what I got to take. At least I'm assuming they'll be able to wrap this up. Maybe there'll even be a movie out of this thing. You know, that would be a dream. So what are your thoughts on this and Leonard Nimoy, who said famously, "I'm retired, I'm tired, I'm done with this." He's back as a villain, no less.
Well, first, it's getting the Chuck send-off, and that's not a bad thing. That just goes to show they know how devoted the fans are and all of that. About Leonard Nimoy, hey, you know what? He makes one scary-ass villain.
He does.
And you can't help but look at him and think Spock.
I thought about that. I don't think Spock. That's why I think it's a great thing for him to come back. I think that's what's bothered him. The whole typecasting thing with Leonard Nimoy is probably problematic. He made some noise a few years ago in the 80s as a director, and it was quite successful as a director. But what
I'm saying is the way he delivered his lines and everything in this last episode, I was thinking, you know what, this is just as clinical, just as rational, just as... And then at the end of every sentence, you could see him just playing on Walter's freaking psyche, like, old friend, isn't this what we always wanted? Isn't this what we always wanted? But I will tell the truth, man. Good thing they rectified it in this episode, because... Yo, Astrid is one of the most lovely ladies on television. If she was dead, you know, I swear to God, I would have been destroying water coolers up in office buildings.
Well, first of all, I love her relationship with Walter, and I love the fact that he calls her Astro lovingly, and she's cute as a button, incidentally. I'm glad they figured that out. Daryl.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, that's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I was gonna leave the floor open for a cap. Uh oh. Did Cap drop off?
I don't know. Cap, you there? I don't know.
That,
you might have went out.
That might be interesting going into your next show, guys.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. Listen, speaking of which, Daryl, as always, we appreciate your support.
No problem.
We're gonna do more next week, folks. We have to close the door on the shop, reopen on the other side for Afro Nerd Radio. Daryl, it's been a pleasure, and we will get back into it next Sunday. See you guys. Stay tuned for Afro Nerd Radio in a few moments.
Spock with a beard?
I think not.
It's a fact. Yeah. You see, Sicilians have the black blood pumping through their hearts. And no, if you don't believe me, you can look it up. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the Moors conquered Sicily. And the Moors are niggers. See, way back then, Sicilians were like wops from northern Italy. They all had blonde hair and blue eyes. But, then the Moors moved in there and, they changed the whole country. They did so much fucking with Sicilian women, that they changed the whole bloodline forever. That's why blonde hair and blue eyes became black hair and dark skin. You know, it's absolutely amazing to me to think that to this day, hundreds of years later, that Sicilians still carry that nigger gene. Now, this... I'm quoting history. It's written. It's a fact. It's written.
I know this guy.
Your ancestors are niggers. And your great 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 grandmother fucked a nigger. Oh, yeah. And she had a half nigger kid. Now, if that's a fact, tell me, am I lying?
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to into this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bert, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Whoa, that was a powerful scene, folks. You know us by now. I'm not really into vulgarity. But unfortunately, I really do not have the equipment to edit out everything. I wish, you know, at a different life, in a more professional setting, that would have definitely been more of an edited piece. However, it's pretty strong. It's from True Romance, the, infamous film from, I guess, maybe 10 years ago or more. And, it still stands the test of time. That's Christopher Walken versus, who's the other gentleman? I'm losing my thoughts on this now. It'll come back to me. Folks, welcome to AfroNerd Radio. Again, AfroNerd Radio, or AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. We have a lot to get into. Before we get into the discourse, we got to get up, we got to get into it, and we have to get involved. This is James Brown, Groove.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody just...
Get on up!
Okay, enough of that. Too much funk for you folks to handle. I don't think you can handle it. I don't think you can handle it. Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The time is 7:06 p.m. The ginseng kicked in. True Romance pinned by Quentin Tarantino. And that, again, was Christopher Walken versus the late, great Dennis Hopper. My apologies for the vulgarity, but it's a riveting scene. It's a riveting scene. So we're going to put it out there for your edification. Folks, we need the captain. Captain, you're needed on the bridge. Let's get into it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Mayweather. I just felt like saying that just to say. Money Mayweather. All right, let's get it started.
All right, folks, feel free to jump into the water. The water is warm, the conservative as well as independent water. Soon to be libertarian, maybe, the way these conservatives, a.k.a. Republicans, are acting. But that's another story. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Lots to unpack this evening, Captain, so let's just get into the list of topics. Numero uno, I suspect, is President Obama formally comes out to support same-sex marriage. And was it the chess play, the chess move of the year? I'm just wondering. I'm pretty sure he really did evolve. But did he simply just move a chess piece? We'll talk about it. Something from last week, and I'll be brief about this because it's just more minstrelsy. Krispy Kreme, wannabe rapper on YouTube that has gone viral. And I find it interesting that those in the know seem to think that he is doing a parody on gangsta rap because he is of Caucasian descent. But who's to say that some of his black contemporaries of the same age bracket, that when they do these goofy YouTube clips, why are they taken more seriously? Why aren't they considered parodies? I'm just wondering. Krispy Kreme. Also, something that I believe Q-Storm brought to my attention. I was familiar with this young man because he goes back a couple of years now. Akeem Kamara. Young man of color, Nigerian father, European mom. He is a child violinist / prodigy that in 2003... you see him playing a mean violin at 3. So, you know, that's been a while now. I don't know if Q is familiar with this, but he did mention this as if it was more of a new story. And now that kid is about 11 or 12 years old. So we'll just revisit Akeem Kamara for our Blue Area segment. It's always important to highlight these young geniuses of color. I think it's just important. We have to talk about this. Maybe we'll talk about this first, actually, Captain, because it's just inane. Someone is selling Trayvon Martin gun targets, selling them so much that they're sold out. And someone has sold out on this. Trayvon Martin, we've mentioned this before. We've talked about Trayvon Martin for quite a while now. And this right here, no matter what you think, we can talk about the circumstances behind this young man's death. But at the end of the day, he was unarmed. If there was some kind of grotesque misunderstanding, does he deserve to be, or his image, does it deserve to be a gun target? Really? Really? Amazing stuff. And if we can fit this in, talk about racism again. Hunger Games. We spoke about this a few weeks ago. The popular franchise, soon-to-be franchise, the book, and now the film, there were quite a few angry, racially charged tweets about the casting of Hunger Games. And now that it's all said and done, now that we go into phase two for the sequel, there's been a lobby or a campaign to have yet another man of color, as described in the book, folks. As described in the book, the character is called Finnick. They want a man of color to play Finnick because he's described as a man of color, and already the racists don't want you to play in their reindeer games. That's it. We'll try to get through all this, Captain. I want to talk about, first up, Trayvon Martin, the gun target. This is... I have no words for this. This is madness. Let's get into the clip first, Captain. And then we will unpack the goods. Hold on, folks.
Gun auctioning website known as gunbroker.com that has begun selling Trayvon Martin gun range targets. So they're gun range targets that depict Trayvon Martin, and we actually have a video that explains more detail into this story. Let's watch.
There's no face inside the hoodie, but the bag of Skittles and the bottle of iced tea makes it clear this paper target designed for shooting practice is supposed to be Trayvon Martin. For just $8 plus $7.50 shipping, sharpshooters have been able to buy a 10-pack of the targets online. The sellers say they support Zimmerman and believe he is innocent and that he shot a thug.
What do you think of that?
This is the highest level of disgust.
The seller would not disclose how many have been made, but says the response is overwhelming. I sold out in 2 days.
Now, as if the image isn't disgusting enough, there's also a detailed description of what it is and what the shooting target is for. So it reads, everyone knows the story of Zimmerman and Martin. Obviously, we support Zimmerman and believe he is innocent and that he shot a thug. Each target is printed on thick, high-quality poster paper with a matte finish.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
I mean, this isn't about defending Zimmerman. Mm-hmm. This is about targeting a victim. I mean, it's been established that this child, this child did nothing illegal.
He had no weapons on him.
So regardless of whether or not they support Zimmerman's, you know, kind of thinking that he was acting in self, or whatever the case may be, you can't hide under this kind of umbrella of, oh, well, I support Zimmerman, so I'm going to... I mean, this is just utter disgust. This is hate.
It's basically demonizing the victim in this situation. And if you have your reservations about the whole Trayvon Martin case and you think that there's a possibility that George Zimmerman did act in self-defense, you guys know clearly what my position is on that. We've talked about it several times on the show. I can understand that, right? Everyone has a different perception of what happened on that day, okay? And there are details that are sketchy and fuzzy. And now it's great that he's being tried and justice will be served. So hopefully justice will be served. But in this case, you're demonizing a victim, a child who was shot to death, 17-year-old who was shot to death, who did not have any weapons on him. And what's incredible to me is the fact that it sold out in 2 days.
I just really hope that he only made, like, 15 of them. Like, he didn't disclose how many he made. So
right.
He's like, the response was overwhelming.
And the person who is selling this knows what he's doing is wrong because he's unidentified. He refuses to, reveal himself. So that shows that he's fully aware of what's going on here and how it's just unacceptable to do this.
All right, we're back. Again, that was courtesy of the Young Turks on YouTube. They were the ones that were talking about this. Catherine, I want you to take the lead on this. What are your thoughts about this Trayvon Martin gun target that seems to be selling like hotcakes?
Well, you see, we get to see statistics that America is a place where interracial marriage is going up, interracial dating is going up, that we get statistics that America, from that standpoint, from a sexual standpoint, they're getting along. Americans are getting along. But why do I feel that though those statistics are on the rise, what's really happening is that America is nothing more than just a pizza pie, and you divide it in three. You have white people, you have Latin people, and then you have black people. And then everybody else just run for the hills because it's about to go down. Why do I just get that feeling more and more and more and more, you know, despite these statistics that come out? You know, that's just the feeling. That's the vibe on the internet. That's the vibe in the media, that everyone could just be running amok at any minute. Let's say if we get a natural disaster, anything could just happen between the ethnicities, between the races, between the religions, anything. So this is what it feels like. It's just not a good feeling. This is just totally wrong, regardless how you feel about the case, whether you're pro-Zimmerman, or whether you're pro-Trayvon. Does not matter. This is totally wrong. And that's all I have to say on it. Back over to you, Seraph.
Yeah. Something quickly. I do want to talk about something in, as it relates to the Trayvon Martin gun target. And it may be uncomfortable, but I want the audience to listen to me closely and clearly, succinctly, as to exactly what I'm going to say. Understand what I'm saying. This was definitely a tragedy. It's not something to make light of, which is what this is doing. We can deliberate on the circumstances behind the shooting, whether Trayvon felt threatened and had to attack Zimmerman, or was Zimmerman in the wrong for having to profile Trayvon. I mean, it comes off as if these two individuals, maybe, you know, then maybe no rocket scientists are in the bunch between these two, and some wires were crossed, and then someone dies. We see this kind of stuff all the time. Perhaps that's what happened. But I think at the core of it is that Trayvon was not armed, as it was mentioned in this in the audio piece we just played. It just appears that someone dropped the ball and someone was killed in this. It doesn't seem that he is deserving of his caricature being made into a gun target. A Hitler gun target, I can see. A Osama bin Laden gun target, I could see. But this was a young man, a minor, still technically a child, and it seems to be just so beyond the pale that it defies understanding. But I will say something about this also. Make no mistake, it's meant to be Trayvon Martin. They could have left it alone as just being a hooded figure. But the fact, if you look at the picture closely, I think we actually have a picture of it at our webpage at AfternoonRadio.com. You can actually see the target. That it has not his face. They didn't go that far as if they needed to. They didn't see his. You don't see his face. You see a hooded figure minus Trayvon's face, but the pocket has Skittles. You see clearly Skittles in one pocket, and I think in the other pocket you see the iced tea. So it's definitely meant to be Trayvon Martin. My problem with this, and this is where we go back into imagery, that some of our parents. Some of our parents of color are dropping the ball in conveying the need to their kids, to let go of this gangsterism as an image, as an aesthetic. I'm not even saying, because that's what they're trying to say. Because some of this is connected to KKK stuff too. There's implication that the KKK may be involved in sponsoring this kind of stuff. That's not really shocking. But when it comes down to going into the character, even of the victim, when they went into the character of the victim, it wasn't difficult to go to his Facebook, see him defiant, and we understand he's a teenager and that kind of thing. We understand that, ladies and gentlemen. But at some point, we have to admit that there has been, and we mentioned this on the last show, that there's a product that's out there that actually black and whites and other ethnic youth have bought into. But unfortunately, it holds onto us like glue. That we sell this product. Trayvon bought the product. He had his middle finger out there on his Facebook. Some of the language between him and his friends was very much rap-oriented, very urban-esque. So when something goes down and they do the research, it looks as if he has the aesthetic. Doesn't mean it's the reality or the surface. Below the surface, it doesn't look to be that way. But above the surface, we're buying into thuggishness. We wear thuggishness like we wear Timberlands, and we wear jeans that we wear below our butts. So when they do the research, Captain, it doesn't look so good. And the parents have to be called to task about telling these children to stop confirming or conforming to these stereotypes, because when they do the research, when you need to be absolved of something, I'm saying this very clearly, I think, they have ammunition to use against you. Look what they're doing. And if you want to take it from a non-racial perspective, when it comes down to the presidency, they dug into Obama's past, rightfully or wrongfully, and they're digging into Romney's past. And we'll talk about that in the next segment when we talk about Obama's stance on same-sex marriage. They're going into Romney's high school bullying period 50 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, 50 years ago. So if something happens to, you know full and well, if something happens to a youth of color and they need to find something on you, they found it a little bit too easily with Trayvon, because we know that it looks like he was wearing the coat of thuggery. He was wearing the aesthetic of thuggery, because it's popular culture. It's pop culture. So the middle finger, he's a badass, he's a kid, the middle finger to the camera. Okay, on below the surface, we know what that is, but above the surface, to the powers that be, when it comes down to character issues, we have to start to impart to our youth that character does matter, that we can't just disregard it. Tell these kids to pull up their pants. Tell them to knock it off with the do-rags and the tattoos and all the nonsense, because when they do the research, you don't look legit. You don't look legit. And then it becomes easier to put a target, to disrespect you. This is blatant disrespect and racism. Trust me on that. I just want our youth to stop conforming to what people already believe about you. If they found little Trayvon as an honor student, if they found him, if they did the due diligence and found him into video gaming, into nerd behavior, I'm just saying, folks, they couldn't have said anything. It would have been hellish for them to do what they're doing now. But it makes it a bit easier that he conformed to certain stereotypes, and now they go, here you go. There you go. Just what we thought. We have to stop it, Captain. We have to stop it. The young man we played last week, college person, I think he's on track to getting his degree, perhaps going into graduate school, and yet he, I guess in a self-deprecating manner, he says, I'm Uba Akari, the nerd nigga. I'm the nerd nigga. Come on, people. He bought the same ham sandwich that Jay-Z is selling. We got to stop this. Captain, what do you think? What do you think?
Well said. Well said on your part.
Now, I'm sure folks are going to make excuses and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I have encountered young mothers, young black mothers, young brown mothers that do not see anything wrong with having their male children specifically wear some of this stereotypical thuggish garb. I've seen it with my own eyes. And they'll say, oh, it's just kids being kids. They don't look at it that seriously. That's what happens when there's no fathers in the house. When there's no fathers at the home to lay down the law, although mothers can do it, they can do it, but many of them are not or maybe not capable of doing it. You have to have that balance. All of a sudden, the mothers are giving a pass on the thug aesthetic because they think of it as harmless. But it's not so harmless, is it? It's not harmless. It's not. All right, Captain, anything else you'd like to put to that? I think we should go to a musical break, and then we'll go to the next topic.
Let's just go to the musical break. That's all.
All right. This is shouting out Shelly Nicole, who I believe I joined her Twitter account quite a while ago, a black rock artist. I think she's connected with the Black Rock Coalition. America's Secret. America's Secret by Shelly Nicole. We'll be back. Hold on.
Let somebody know. Let it be an earthquake violent. question, Diane, based upon what you just said, yes, the vote last night in North Carolina, what Vice President Biden said earlier in the week and what his press secretary, Jay Carney, said yesterday, and that the president would speak for himself on his position. So I asked the president, does he still oppose same-sex marriage?
I have to tell you, as I said, I've been going through an evolution on this issue. I've always been adamant that gay and lesbian Americans should be treated fairly and equally. And that's why, in addition to everything we've done in this administration, rolling back Don't Ask, Don't Tell, so that outstanding Americans can serve our country, whether it's no longer defending the Defense Against Marriage Act, which tried to federalize what has historically been state law, I've stood on the side of broader equality for the LGBT community. And I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
All right, we're back. Again, folks, for the last play, it was Shelly Nicole's America's Secret. Shelly Nicole's America's Secret, definitely a jammy jam. And that was President Obama weighing in on his affirmation for same-sex marriage, where before he was more along the lines of, being political and saying that, well, I support civil unions. And as he just stated, he thought that would be sufficient. And now he's come full force to say that he supports, I guess, the 21st century interpretation of marriage, going against conventional marriages between a man and a woman. Captain, your thoughts, and then I will, come on up after you.
Okay.
What do you think?
This is what I'll say. Based on the video that I saw, because I got to see the video, I watched the video, I watched how he speaks. This is normally a man who speaks very well. If you watch the interview, he was very uncomfortable in front of the camera. That denotes something to me. That tells me something right off the top. This is not the Obama I'm used to seeing. He's not comfortable in saying what he said. That means to me he doesn't believe in it. But this is not about belief. It's not about belief. And this is something that I've told people before. When you're in business, when you're a leader, when you're a president, when you're a CEO of a company, you have to think from a win and lose perspective. This is how CEOs of companies can lay off 1,000 people and sleep at night. It's win and lose. And a lot of that behavior is somewhat sociopathic. Sometimes they are sociopaths to begin with. President Obama now, what he's doing, this is not about Christian values. This is not about American people. This is not about doing what's morally correct for you or immoral. This is real simple. This is about win or lose. How can I win? How can I get a next term? What do I have to do? It's very simple. It's not about the American people. We could see that this whole administration, not just his administration, the whole government is not about American people. Okay? If they were about American people, You wouldn't bail out Wall Street. You would be able to audit the IRS. Congress would be able to print their own money, which they don't. They have no. They don't do that. Banks do that. Not supposed to do that. It's a whole other thing. I'm not going to give you a government lesson. You have to look that up for yourself at a given time. Or maybe another time I will do that. But this is about winning and losing. And if you're playing to win, these are the type of things that you have to do to win at the end of the day. It's not about people saying, oh, I'm a Christian. This is wrong. It's not about people saying, oh, this is right because I'm a gay person. He's doing this for me. He's not concerned with any of that. If you watch the video and you looked at him and you watched him through his whole administration, you could see when this man is in his flow, as they would say. You know, he's flowing. He's comfortable. Wasn't comfortable at all. He's not comfortable at all because he's not believing what he's saying. He had to try and rationalize his decision in order to make an attempt to win. That's it. It's a chess move in order to try and win. And sometimes when you're trying to win, you have to do things that you might not necessarily believe in at all. But the goal is to win, win, win. And this is something that people have to also look at, whether you have a small business or a big business. If you're too moral, a lot of times you're not going to do very well. It's win and lose. How do I make the business go? Okay? Within a legal framework, of course. You don't want to do anything illegal. But sometimes you have to do things in order to just win and make things happen. And that's all what this is here. It is nothing else than that. Back over to you, Sir Afflin.
Yeah, incidentally, happy Mother's Day, folks. I forgot to mention this at the top of the show, and my apologies. Again, happy Mother's Day to all our matriarchs out there who may be listening. And incidentally, again, call us up if you like. Step in the water. It's warm. It's 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. We're talking about President Obama's proclamation or affirmation in a positive way toward same-sex marriages, where before, listen, there's a number of states that have approved of legal unions, legal marriage between those of the same sex, and there are some that are shutting it down. I think North Carolina, soon after President Obama made this announcement, shut it down. Now, the reality is, and this is dovetailing off of what the captain has just stated, the reality is that this is more of a chess move on the part of President Obama, and I'm not saying that as a negative, it is just reality. And it's also more about moving toward the future and creating a distinction between himself and Governor Romney. The more I think about this, I mean, there's a certain level of brilliance to it. And I've said this before. Matter of fact, I was fortunate enough to be a caller to the Warren Ballantyne show a few days ago when he was also talking about this topic. Unfortunately, I'm having problem finding the audio. And I gave him my opinion on this. And, you know, the captain and myself, we talk about this all the time, this kind of stuff, all types of issues. You should hear the pre-shows. The pre-show would be something like Afro Nerd After Dark, in far more colorful language. Nevertheless, you know, I'll be the first to say, I don't profess to know or understand gay culture. I just don't. You know, we joke about hard man feet. Man feet. That's a rough road. Even the tangential producer of the show, my father, the Oracle, told me years ago that, you know, you can't condemn folks, gay folks, because I'm pretty sure, we can be pretty sure that these folks did not choose this lifestyle. And that's up for debate. But for the most part, no one would choose to go through this turmoil if they could help this. These folks are not going anywhere. They're just not. They've been here for centuries, and you adapt or you die. And this is putting a line in the sand for this country to move toward the future. And I said on Warren's show, on Mr. Ballantyne's show, I said to him, because not only was he talking about this topic, but it was also interspersed with this young man who, Captain, the joke is he has my namesake, by the way. This young man, I think his name is Desmond, I can't recollect his last name. But he mentioned this story. He mentioned the Obama story with this young man in somewhere down south. I think it might be Georgia somewhere, Louisiana, I don't know, who is 33 years old and has 30 kids by, I think, you know, double-digit women. I remember hearing this guy about this guy. I'm not going to call him a gentleman. He's this guy. I think a few years ago when he was at number 20, he had like, I remember maybe 5 years ago he had 21 kids. Now it's 33. There's no marriage talk on this. You know, there was the talk of, you know, this is a roll of the dice with President Obama, that he might be jeopardizing his lock on the black vote, because black folk are notoriously religious, and black folks take issue with the gay lifestyle. And what it boils down to, really, for me, what really made me change my mind, because I'm an agnostic, so I'm not really about, it's not about religion for me. It is about, let's not get it twisted, as they say, it is about the preservation of civilization. I do believe in it, that being able to connect with a woman, it's just natural. You know, but I can only speak for me. You know, the gay lifestyle is not my thing. I can't talk about it. But at the same time, I can say that we're not getting married. Black folks, black men are running away from the institution like the plague. We're having many of us, or some of us, let's get the quantification correctly, some of us are not marrying these women. Or I should say many of us, not all, but many, are not married, and we're doing it publicly. We spoke about the Jets cornerback Antonio Cromartie. Multiple kids, multiple women in multiple states. He went through double-digit women and then finally decided to get married to one of them after having a litter of children. We spoke about Terrell Owens, who was on last week on Dr. Phil's show. He's up there with his fool behind with three of his women. I don't know if he married any of these women, but he had three women. You know, he's crying about his inability to pay for these kids with three different women on stage, and it looks like a hot mess. And this other young man, 33 years old, 30 kids. So black folks need to sit down on this. You need to sit in a corner. Go in a corner. We've seen, the Oracle, just as a as an anecdote today, mentioned something about Aretha Franklin's father. I believe his name is C.L. Franklin, who was a pretty well-known minister. This is documented. In his bio, Aretha Franklin has a younger half-sister because her father had intimacies with a 13-year-old member of his church. You see what I'm saying? So these holy rollers are being dishonest, and many within the black community are being dishonest, because you talk to some of these young black folks, they'll say, oh, marriage is just a piece of paper, Captain. It's just a piece of paper. Well, if it's just a piece of paper, why are you making a big deal about these gay folks that want to do, quote-unquote, the right thing without the possibility of kids unless they adopt? They have enough respect to marry their paramour without children. And I had to come around to this logically. I'm a very logical person, Captain. I had to come around to this, and it was a difficult thing. And I say, I might be on the black team if we were, by and large, upholding traditional values and upholding the right of civilization. But we're not. We're not. So you can't take a dump on these folks when they want to do the right thing and you don't want to marry your baby's mamas. You don't. Because you say it's just a piece of paper. That's what I hear. That's all, Captain. That's all. Simple and plain. Simple and plain. Any thoughts?
No, let's just move right along. Let's move right along.
What? I make you nervous, man?
Not at all.
All right. I'm going to like it is.
You might have gained a few fans with that one.
Well, listen, hey, you know, I'm not going to go any further before I mess it up. Man feet. That's a rough road, buddy. That's all I got to say. That's
Ashy
a rough road.
Man feet. Ashy.
Hey, whatever. Man feet. That's a rough road. All right. Let's see. You know, Captain, let's go to a quick, and I do mean quick, musical break. And we get back. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Oh, Akeem Kamara. Real brief on Akeem Kamara. This is brought to my attention by Q-Storm. Thanks to him. This is, and I'm going to have to cut this short probably, a classic, Freddy's Dead by Fishbone. Groove, folks. Let's groove. My apologies, folks, for the poor editing job. That again was Fishbone doing their cover, their classic cover of the Curtis Mayfield classic, again, Freddy's Dead. Definitely a rockin' version. At Afternoon Radio, you will hear the very best of urban alternative music. The call-in number, we got about 8 minutes remaining, 646-915-9620, again, 646-915-9620. Let's segue from President Obama to Akeem Kamara. This is a young man, I believe he's around 11 or 12 years of age now. Funny how time flies. But we gained notice of this young violinist, this prodigy, because of quite a few YouTube clips, actually. He's an adorable kid, and he's a musical genius. You know, he's of Nigerian and German extraction. He has a, you know, he's this little afro, and he's, you know, doing his thing, you know, with great proficiency as a violinist. And when you go into his backstory, you find out that, this is amazing, that at 2 years of age, somehow he took up, I guess his parents had the wherewithal to start him on violin lessons at the Marzahn School of Music. This is somewhere in, I forgot exactly where this is located, but he's two, right? He's two. He can barely talk at this age, unintelligible gibberish. Yet, while still in diapers, he was able, at two, to play on the violin what he heard musically. So he couldn't speak, but he could emulate on the violin what he heard. So once, you know, at some point, you know, these are educators, they're able to determine, okay, this kid, he's, you know, he's got some ability here. And by the time he was three, he's doing concerts, essentially. He's doing concerts at three. So I suspect that Q-Storm probably saw some of the footage on this young man, but it's not new footage. I mean, that was back in 2002, 2003. It's 2012 now, so this kid's around 12 years old. So if you see, if you actually input Akeem, A-K-I-M, Akeem Kamara, you'll see him like Akeem Kamara 2012 or Akeem Kamara now. He's a preteen now. He's almost a teenager, and he's, you know, actually performing before symphonies with a hell of a lot more proficiency. Even though he was nice at three, he's even nicer at 12. And I just like the fact that he goes against type. He's a prodigy. If you go into his backstory, his mentors definitely wanted him to be a normal kid. They wanted him to be natural about this, not to be some sycophant who's just wooden. So he has a great deal of humor. He's just, you know, he didn't want to be one of these insufferable child prodigies. So I have to thank Q-Storm. This again is our infamous Blue Area segment where we talk about positive people, positive news. Give it up for Akeem Kamara. I mean, we need to hear more about this stuff. We'll hear it more at AfroNerd, Captain. I mean, this is what we're about. We have to talk about all the good that we're doing, all the positive, all that is black genius. We have to talk about it. Any thoughts, Captain?
Well, this is why you introduce music. I believe that, you know, you should give children, you know, a wide variety of options, you know, just for this very same reason. You might have a child prodigy on your hands, and if you don't introduce them to the music, you're not essentially going to know. I don't believe in forcing the music on the child, because from my experience, I never really see where the music, forcing music, pans out. Believe it or not, I've seen where martial arts and sports, when you ram that down a child's throat, over the years, it seems to carry over. Because in sports and something as far as martial arts, it teaches you how to become very confident and defeat opponents that are bigger, stronger, and faster than you. And when you get in the business world, it also gives you that drive and determination to defeat people who are bigger, stronger, and faster. You have to outsmart them in the business world in order to defeat them. But I definitely do believe in, you know, introducing your child to music for this very same reason right here. That's all.
Yeah, quickly, only have about 3 minutes remaining. Time surely flies with these Sunday shows. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Sergio Mims. Sergio Mims is a friend of a show out of Chi-Town. And actually, he does double duty as a film critic and also, and you should definitely check out his Shadow and Act site, Shadow and Act at IndieWire.com, Shadow and Act, where he talks about black film. But he also does double duty with a classical music radio show. WHPK-FM, WHPK-FM out of Chicago, where it's classical music. So, you know, again, what the captain is referencing is very important. We honestly do have to expose children to many things to make them complete adults. That they may listen, it's like eating spinach at 2. You might hate spinach at 2, but sure enough, it's good for you. And when you reach adulthood, when you go through your maturation phase, oftentimes these kids really appreciate. I appreciate wholeheartedly that the Oracle raised me with a jazz background. Jazz and blues is not an uncomfortable thing for me. I relish in the music. And actually, I have to shout out a friend of mine I will refer to as the Nemesis. I'll call him Nemesis. He's an officer, police officer, retired officer. And when we were playing video games, he played a whole lot of Police and Van Halen and all these classic rock artists and Led Zeppelin in the background that I didn't necessarily get then, but I love it now. You have to plant the seed, ladies and gentlemen. Plant the seed. Captain, we got to close the doors. I think we have to shout out some folks. Or do you have any personal shout-outs before we get up on out of here?
I have no personal shout-outs. None whatsoever.
Well, you know, there's always Wednesdays, folks. Wednesday, the Midweek in Review show. Check us out. And as always, happy Mother's Day. Treat your matriarch with respect and love and pride. Shouting out my mom. Love you, Ma. The Wedger, as I affectionately call her. The Wedger. And she knows what I'm talking about. We'll do it again, folks, on Wednesday, Midweek in Review. Let's go out on some young folks, actually. Pay attention to these folks, people. They're called The Skins. The Skins. A teen rock group of color. Teens out of high school. I think they're still in high school. The Skins. This cut is called Surf. See you on Wednesday. Thanks again.